Hi, everyone. Welcome to the magical world of numbers. I'm your host, Elizabeth Summers. I'm an esoteric numerologist, an ancient tarot card reader, a student of astrology, and when I do my show and visit with you in the magical world of numbers, I kind of draw it all together like a package to give you insight as to what codes, what information is found within your energy fields as a soul coming into this lifetime. I would love for you to go to my website, elizabethsummers.com, and check out all the readings that I do, all of the background of the numbers, as well as myself. And while you're on that homepage, go ahead and sign up for my free spiritual, numerological, et cetera, newsletter, that all you have to do is hit that contact button, say, sign me up, mama, and it is done. Really exciting news about the Magical World of Numbers program. This is the last time, today, right now, while you're hearing my voice, the last time I will be on Wednesdays at this particular time slot. Because BBS Radio, in its wonderful expansion that it has gone on this year, as you can tell by the beautiful website that we have, has opened up nighttime slots. And in my effort to be with more of you, to have you be able, at your better convenience, to call me, then I am moving now my show, The Magical World of Numbers, to Friday nights, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Coast time. If you're in the mountains, then west, then it's going to be 7:30 to 8:30. If you're with my buddies in New York City and over in North Carolina, South Carolina, and even down in Florida, then it's going to be 9:30 to 10:30. When all the kids are in bed and you have a few minutes just to relax, turn on my show and maybe pick up the phone and call me for a little mini reading. The Magical World of Numbers, oh, by the way, the Friday night show begins on February 9th, next Friday. My show is always divided into three segments. And the first segment, because I want to share with you what numbers mean, how they influence your life, what do they say about you. The first 20 minutes or so of my show is always devoted to a magical number, a specific number that I want to talk to you about, give you insight about. They're not just the numbers on the computer or the numbers in the checkbook. They are codes, like a stenographer shorthand, that are found in your birth certificate name and your month, day, and year of birth. And they were developed as formulas to find out which codes apply to you. These formulas were developed thousands of years ago. Numerology, and especially the esoteric numerology that I do, which has me looking at you from the soul's perspective and how it impacts on your human being life, this work was evolved and developed 5,000 years old in the Chaldean system, 2,600 years ago in the Pythagorean system, thousands of years ago in the Hebrew system. And when I do my big private readings for individuals, I combine a variety of numerological code systems to help you understand who you are. And so, the second segment, the second 20 minutes, and I'll give you a heads up when to get your dialing finger ready and when to call in. The second segment I'm going to devote to you just some mini readings as to what year you are in energetically, what influence you are under now energetically in a 9-year cycle of influences that we all go traipsing through. And for that, all I need is your first and middle name, your age, and your month, day, and year of birth. That's all I need. So I'll give you plenty of time to get dialing, and our engineer is waiting to connect us. And then when that segment has kind of come to an end, I want to tie it all together to give you more information about today's magical number. So our list of to-do, and first of all, you know you should have pencil and paper, not pen, pencil and paper with you when you come to visit with me in the magical world of numbers, because I teach you some little formulas to use to give you insight as to where we're going, what we're going to talk about. So we need our pencil and our paper. We need to write down my website, www.elizabethsummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummerslikethesummersliketh subscribing to the free numerology newsletter that's going out in 2 days, actually. The February one is completed and ready to be sent. And then click on the Readings and Channels tab, Channelings tab, and see how beneficial having a reading with me all about you can be in your life. Well, here we go. You know, I always kind of give you a little teaser, if you will. And the first thing I want you to do in today's work is I want you to print, no writing, no cursive. I want you to print your full birth certificate name. And while you're printing that birth certificate name, I can hear some of you saying, well, what about my current name? Well, what about my nickname? Well, what about? In today's work, we don't need to deal with any of that. When I do big readings, I do take those names into consideration, but not when we visit each week. No. Your birth certificate name represents to me, by code, as a numerologist, as an esoteric numerologist, which says I am very soul-oriented in my definitions of the numbers. Your birth certificate name represents to me your soul's past life human being experiences that you have had. And because our experiences, our thoughts, our behaviors, our energy, and energy is never lost, it is always just transformed, those past life energies and experiences got transformed into memories, into the vibrations of memories that are now, as memories, held in your soul's memory bank, like a little computer chip. And as your soul chose by its free will to yet again come into human being form to do more spiritual growth through human being interactions, returning to the scene of the crime in a way, your soul brought its computer chip with it as memories of, I know how to do this, but I don't know how to do that. And last time I was a boy, and this time I'm a girl. And I know how to do that as a boy, but I don't know how to do that as a girl. And so I'm bringing my energy fields experientially into balance through changing of sexes, through changing of relationships, through changing of cultures. I am expanding my spiritual growth through interactions with other human beings, and many of them I've been in human being form with before, and last time they were the husband, now I'm the husband. Last time they were the son, now I'm the son. Last time I was the boss, now they're the boss. And we work out our spiritual growth of learning, compassion, forgiveness, understanding. We learn that through human being interactions. But our memories are found in our birth certificate name. And I hear some of you saying, oh, you know, my mother named me. My Aunt Susie, my Uncle George named me. No. They were simply the human being satellite dishes, metaphorically speaking, that your soul used telepathically to get your name into vibrational form of memories in this lifetime. So every soul, before it incarnates in human form, yet again, telepathically goes soul to soul, sometimes and most of the times mom, because the spiritual connection is with the mother. That's why a lot of times when souls are passing out of this lifetime, they will call for the mother. That's where the energy connection is. That doesn't mean that fathers are not important, but it's kind of a soul thing. Well, anyway, telepathically, your soul says that communicates to whomever wound up naming you the name that you wanted, and all of a sudden, one day out of the clear blue sky, mom says out loud, I think we're going to call him George, or we're going to call her Mary Catherine, or Penelope Marie. And your soul says, bingo. So, writing that birth certificate name down now, I want you to draw a vertical line between your first name and your middle name and your third name. If you have four names, then draw a vertical line in between all those four names. But if you are of a culture that has more than four names, whittle it down to the primary three or four that you use. Some cultures have a multitude of names that have to be handled differently, and that's not for today's program. So three or four names is what we want. And in that birth certificate name, I want you to put a circle around every letter, D as in David. Every letter D, David. Delicious. Dignity. Definitely. I want you to put a circle around every letter M in your name. Mary. Marvelous. Magnificent. Munchkins. And the third letter I want you to put your circle around in your birth certificate name, because those are today's codes we're going to define and talk about. It's the letter V as in Victor. Voluptuous. Victory. Va-va-voom. Those are today's magical letters. Now, here is your grocery list of definitions. Here is your grocery list of keywords that define today's magical number. Hard working, planning, very cautious, conventional, conservative. Orderly, builder, respectable, practical. Steeped in tradition. You can tell that this is not a wild and crazy number. We have talked about in other shows some pretty wild and crazy numbers. This doesn't sound like one of them, does it, folks? No. And so this number, this temperament, this personality, and every number has a positive and a negative side, We live in a dual universe, up and down, right and wrong, left and right. Yes and no, male, female. You only have two choices in life. And so a number, which represents an energy, and by the way, what you have written down on your page is not a number. What I am defining is a number. What you have written down are letters that I want you to add together, how many D's, M's, and V's that you have as a total. Put it beside your name. Put a circle around it. And that digit, that glyph that you are writing, is called a numeral. I'm talking to you about the definition and the abstract understanding that that numeral represents. See the difference? We have numerals and we have numbers. And I deal with numbers, meanings that are behind the glyph, the numeral, the code, the symbol. And so here we are, positive and negative. And in the positive side of today's magical number, this person's very disciplined, dignified, very reasonable, can be very serious, very trustworthy. In the negative, if they are out of balance, if they are working from a lower fear-based vibration in this lifetime, especially as far as it being their birthday number, their personality, which we'll talk about later in today's show, then this person is inflexible, and they're very narrow-minded, and they're very crude. Yucko. They're very crude. They can be very dogmatic and very authoritarian, very discourteous, very headstrong and thick-skinned. Very dishonest. Because I bring in astrology into the work that I do also, even though I am primarily an esoteric numerologist for many, many, many years, this sign equates to the sun sign of Taurus. Taurus, end of April, first part of May. And Taurus is also an energy that has a positive and a negative and whatever. So if you have a partner or a child or a husband or a wife or someone you work with that you know is the sun sign, was born at this time, this is how they show themselves to the world. And the primary characteristics of anyone who is a Taurus sun sign is that they're very self-reliant and they're very wise. Very grounded individuals. The positive side of the Taurus personality trait is, they are patient. They're very reliable. The Taurus are very persistent and determined. They're very placid and very security loving. Hold that word. Security loving, because it explains a lot why today's magical number behaves the way it behaves, chooses what it chooses. The positive personality trait of a Taurus is they are very warm-hearted, very loving. Negatively speaking, however, when they are imbalanced, carrying lower fear-based vibrations, they can be jealous and very possessive, very resentful, very inflexible, very self-indulgent, gimme, 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 no matter what cost, and very greedy. Because Taurus temperaments love the good life. They love the beautiful, materialistic things that they surround their environment with. And when they are out of balance, they use those things to give them a sense of identity importance, and they're like little security blankets for them. Look what I can afford. Look what I can do. And so know that sometimes Taurus personalities, when they are out of balance, attempt to acquire material things for security reasons and can do so rather inappropriately. Are you wondering yet what today's magical number is? Just a few more things. The color that vibrates to today's number is all shades of green. And if a person has this lesson to learn, or maybe if they have it, what is called Taurus rising in their astrological chart. Your sun sign is how you come into this world and how you show yourself to the world. But your rising sign, often called the ascendant, is in a way what your soul is trying to get you to become when all is said and done and you finish this lifetime. You kind of, not all the time, but can begin with one personality, and as you mature and grow older, you evolve personality-wise into your rising sign, sometimes called your ascendant. I am the sun sign of Aries. And when I was younger and came into this lifetime, my attitude was the lower vibration of Aries that says, I want what I want when I want it. I am a fire sign. I am a blowtorch. Get out of my way. But over the course of the middle part of my life, through zigging and zagging and the easy way and the hard way, my rising sign is Taurus. And I have definitely, and it's a good thing, folks, I have definitely turned into a Taurus. I've turned down to a little flicker, that Aries blowtorch of a temperament, have mellowed out, and kind of have an attitude of, okay, fine. So sometimes I feel like a little match, a little sparkler, and not the blowtorch that a welder would use that I came in here with. But it's a good thing. It's better that I'm the little sparkler now. And so today is magical number. Here we go. Loves the color green. Therefore, it loves green gemstones, jades, and emeralds, and the flowers that vibrate to this number are nasturtiums, which are very patriotic, represented very patriotic, or bluebells that represent metaphorically constancy, stick-to-itiveness, steadfastness, and today's magical number is the number four. The number four. Now, geometrically speaking, in sacred geometry, the number four's geometric is a square, is a box, has parameters, not an oblong, not a circle, a square. And this, quite appropriately, folks, does represent the temperament and personality sometimes of the number four. The number four, in numerology, there are introvert numbers and extrovert numbers, and quite frankly, they show themselves totally opposite than what a psychologist would say is an introvert and an extrovert. And so, for instance, the number three and five are constantly jabbering away and in motion and action Jackson and out there. And we would look at them, and a psychologist would look at them and say, my gosh, that's an extrovert personality. And that's true from a psychologist's point of view. But in numerology, three and five are introvert numbers. They go within themselves to find the answers to their problems. They do not go running to psychologists or doctors. or lawyers or Indian chiefs. They go within, and sometimes, therefore, they can be moody. Well, not the number four, just the opposite. With this conservative, box-like temperament, one would, as a psychologist, look at that and say, my gosh, that's really an introvert. But numerologically speaking, the number four, as well as the number eight, are considered to be extrovert numbers. Why? Because they reach out to others for answers. They go to the doctors. They go to the therapist. They reach outside of themselves for answers. This number is very significantly connected to the sun sign of Taurus, sometimes depending on the other things in the astrological chart. Also, the sign of Capricorn can be a big influence to this number four, astrologically speaking. The purpose, the life purpose, when we add a person's month, day, and year of birth together, we get their life purpose, their life path, it's often called. And the life purpose of anyone whose month, day, and year of birth adds down to a number four, even a 22-4, a 13-4, 31-4, is to be a builder, to work in the community, to work in business, to construct something, to adjust something. The number four is the number one word that could be used for the number four is organizer. Its talent lies in slow, like a turtle. We talked about turtles and the tortoise and the hare in another show when we talked about the number two. Well, the number four is two twos. So we still have this tortoise metaphor going on here. It works very patiently. It takes its time to smooth over any edges that any project seems to have. The number four is in for the long haul. This is not an impulsive, impetuous person, if it is their birthday number. If it is their lesson to learn, they may, as a soul, and it shows up in one of the formulas that I use in doing a reading, they may be coming into this lifetime with so much impatience in their memory bank, so much impulsiveness, so much of a scattered energy, that's why the number four is their lesson to learn to corral all of that wild and crazy energy coming in here. Put it in a corral like a horse, a stallion, one of the wild horses that's running in Colorado. Get it in there. Give it some training. Settle it down a little bit so it can be a good horse, so it can be happier and not so frenzied. And so the number four is, you know, folks, can be a little boring, depending upon the temperament of its partner that it associates with. Well, you know, if you put a wild stallion and you put a corral personality together, it's going to be a tad challenging for each of them. The threes and the fives can be really like little stallions, and the twos and the fours and the eight temperaments are like the corral that tries to corral the stallion, and the stallion's trying to loosen up and keep that gate open. So anyway, this person who has this number four either to learn or to have as a temperament is usually very honest, has a really great sense of integrity, because it's conservative. Thinks within a box, within a framework, if you will. assuming that everyone is working on their spiritual path and working at the positive side of the number, and really, folks, 99.9% of all souls are working in a positive way on their spiritual path. And yes, they have free will. So if maybe they just, in one brief moment of insanity, using their free will, detour, take a step off and take a detour somewhere and go toodaloo and off into some inappropriate place in their life, it's important to know that nevertheless, the soul will always, always, always toodaloo them right back eventually onto their positive spiritual path, easy way or hard way. You will get back on the right road. So this number four is rock solid dependability. They have very pronounced mathematical talents and therefore are super in careers connected to building, a house. You want someone who knows how to work with numbers, quite frankly, to build a house, to frame a house. These are the framers. These are the architects, the accountants, the builders, the contractors, real estate agents, managers, even laborers, folks that actually dig and lay down the framing for the laborers, the work in the trenches. Now, in my favorite formula that I talk to you about frequently, where we see how many tools you have in your birth name come in here, that wonderful toolbox formula of mine, sometimes in a birth name, a person has letters that have number one correlating to it, and I add them all together, and they have so many ones of leadership and independence and being the boss and standing on their own 2 feet coming into this lifetime, but they have no fours found in the codes of their birth name. Oh. So that frequently requires the person in this lifetime not to be the boss, but to be in the trenches, learning how to work, because they're out of balance. They're always telling everybody else what to do, but they have never worked the system themselves, and frequently they are the people who are the employees in a business and not the employer in the business. So how does this person with this temperament of a number four, their birthday number, usually dress? Old world classics, herringbones, medium lapels, conservative styles. The fabrics are not fluffy little silks and what have you. Very durable. Classic lines, if you will. Even though their body movement is kind of slow moving, quite frankly, their brain is moving fast. Physically slow, brain moving fast. They look at things from every angle because the number four contains two twos, and the number two represents details. Seeing all the details in an issue. Now, the difference between someone who is influenced by the number two as part of their temperament and someone who's number four as part of their temperament, whether it's 4, 13, 4, 22, 4, 31, 4 birthday numbers, the number two gathers so many details, they get swamp-loaded and cannot make a decision. Yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. Indecisiveness from all the details is connected to the number two, whereas the number four just gathers them all in and puts every duck in a row and formulates a system, a order, a concrete, functioning from all of the details. It ratchets up the energy, so it's a good thing. Facts and figures, great. Likes to engineer things. It likes to work within that box. So, negatively speaking, they can become very fixed, very stubborn. You try to push someone who is a Taurus, and good luck. They dig their heels in. The number four is a very structured temperament. They can be bullheaded. There is an energy within them, because they're security-oriented, there's a logic, that does not really, you don't want to argue with them, because they will have their logical details in order, in debate, and they will plow you under. So you know what you do? The best thing to argue, how to argue, with someone who is a Taurus, or someone, or Taurus rising, or Taurus moon, that's your emotional part of you, or someone who has all these fours going for them, is to talk about the opponent. To really argue and debate against the opponent of the four. And that will help you get your points through to the number four temperament. They will latch onto your thoughts, take them onto their own, think that they're right, case closed. Number fours are really good with money. Why? Because they don't spend it. They don't like to spend it. They don't like a lot of foo-foo and fluff. They'll spend on quality. Their attitude is in spending money, that they look at it as an investment. Whether it is a jacket, whether it's a vase, whether it is good quality food. This is not your fast food, anything will do, Taco Bell, with all due respect to Taco Bell, kind of temperament. These people are people who like quality across the board, in the food, in the wines, in their housing, in their partners, in their lifestyle. It can be very minimal, but it'll be very good quality. And so that's what they'll spend their money on. And they're not risk takers. So they're not out there investing in this and that and the other thing without really calculated risks. They're not risk takers. They think, they plan, they organize, they look at all the stats before they put a penny down. And then once they put the penny down, day in, day out, they are watching the progress of that money that they have invested. They are watchers. Nothing escapes the number four when it comes to money and investment. Along those lines, one of the things that really trips their trigger, happiness-wise, is to watch that bank account grow. So as I told you, they're on the website every day looking at their checking account. What's the interest doing? What's the stock doing? And when there is growth, they're happy campers. When it comes to the family, this number four is very dedicated, very strongly attached to home and family. And the number four can handle domestic responsibilities with really wonderful, loyal devotion, thrift. I mean, they can get blood out of a turnip, as the saying goes. They're very practical. They're involved in the PTA. They're involved in the Elks Club. They're involved in the Chamber of Commerce. They like to be part of a group. They would be the ones that would be the treasurers of the group. Not necessarily the president or the vice president, but they would be the treasurers of the group. Typically, these folks are health nuts. They are good at, well, I mean, there's kind of a caveat here, quite frankly. They They don't like to be sick because it slows them down. So they're up on the latest vitamins or the how-to book, the how-to books, or because they don't like to be sick. It slows them down. It's too emotional. It's too much fluff. These are the ones that when you get sick, when they get sick, you know, you put a glass of water and some hot soup on a tray, and you close the bedroom door and leave them alone. They don't like to be pampered, generally speaking. Now, yes, a lot of what I'm saying has caveats to it, can be gross generalizations to some of you. But if the truth were told and we got down to the nitty-gritty, much of the descriptions of anyone who has a four temperament that I'm talking about, or their life path number is a four, what they're here to achieve, what they're here to learn, what they're here to grow to be, this applies to. You want someone who has the high energy, has the energy of the number four. Folks, you want them to be your friend because they're very industrious. They might not have the ideas, but if someone presents the creative idea to them, their gift is to take the idea and run with it. They're not necessarily the quarterbacks, but if that quarterback throws a long pass, that number four will take the ball, run with it, and make the touchdown. The number four as a friend is so industrious and so honest and so traditional and so practical that they are the friend that you can depend on. They're very thorough. They are the salt of the earth. They are frequently there when no one else is. And so here we have this on time, plodding through life, building, enduring, persevering, systematizing everything in life. Person, issue, lesson to learn. You just need to be careful that you don't become too rigid. Not wanting to open the door of that corral. Not wanting to think outside the box. Becoming impatient, people in your lives who do. And if you become too rigid and too impatient and too intolerant, you need to go deeper into yourself and ask yourself, why? It's not about the other person. It's about some fear-based, scaredy cat, I'm not good enough part of you that's coming from somewhere that makes you be inflexible and so rigid that it flips into the negative and becomes a control issue. This number four can absolutely bring chaos into order. Its challenge is not to be rigid. It needs structure, but needs to be flexible. And when it comes to its relationships, it can be very thoughtful and very faithful and very considerate to its partners. And folks, it cleans up its messes usually. Doesn't like messy. Now, having said all that about how this number four temperament works, especially between the ages of 30 and 55, the emotional years, if you will, the developmental emotional years, the poor little fours feel deeply. They can have wonderful hearts, loving, nurturing, caring, feeling hearts, love their wife, love their husband, love their kids, love their job. The problem is they don't express it. They don't let all that wonderful loving energy, all that heart chakra energy, come up from the solar plexus through the heart, up through the throat chakra, and out the mouth. No. It takes a detour and goes up to the brain and stays there. And so all that emotional energy frequently gets stuck energetically in the throat. And because love is an energy, it's the highest energy of vibration. And it's in there, and it's coming from the heart, and it's a good thing, and it's really hyperactive. It rolls up and gets to the throat, getting ready to come out the mouth, but because of some fear that is in the subconscious, from God knows what other lifetime, maybe from this lifetime, maybe that little person, that little soul grew up in a family where their models never spoke about feelings, where what was imprinted upon them, that if you said how you feel, you got punished, you were laughed at, you were ridiculed, you were made to feel not good enough. And as an adult, you're remembering that. And of course, we know that many men have this issue. And so they suffer heart attacks. The energy has to go somewhere, so it goes back down to the heart and starts banging around energetically in the heart like marbles in a tin can. It has to go somewhere, and it intensifies, intensifies, intensifies until finally the heart chakra goes kaboom. Or we have throat problems. Laryngitis. I'm angry at someone, laryngitis says. But I just can't tell that person I'm angry at them. And that anger holds in the throat and we get laryngitis. We can't talk. We get strep throats because of the anger. So if you ever have throat problems, throat illnesses, go to anger. Anger is always a secondary reaction. Go deep. Who, what are you angry about? And if you cannot say it, my dear listeners, write it. Does the same thing. If you, for some reason, in your emotional evolvement, cannot say how you feel right now, then you journal. Then you write it. I tell my clients to get a fabulous journal. I don't care if it's pink, purple, pink, green, made out of lizard skin or whatever. I don't care. Whatever trips your trigger. And I say to them, give that journal a name. Call it George. Call it Matilda. It's your best friend that you're going to talk to. When you can't talk to another human being, you can go to your journal. George. George, today I had a terrible day. And I am so angry, George, at this and the... Okay. You are releasing the energy out of your physical body. And that's all that's important. Then you'll be able to look at it. And then maybe with a little less vehement energy connected to it, you will be able to calmly express yourself, and that will be the first step. And the same thing goes with love, with expressing love. If you cannot verbalize and tell your partner with words how you feel about him or her, write him a note. Put a post-it with your feelings on the bathroom glass. In the morning, the bathroom mirror. Put a love note, a writing of your feelings in their lunches, in their briefcase. Let the energy flow. And the number four, in its partnerships, frequently has difficulty saying how it feels. the major stumbling blocks, the challenges, if you will. Sometimes people have this issue in one of the formulas that says within a certain time frame, this is what I'm going to try to work on, just between like 36 and 45 or 54 and 62. I'm able to calculate that out in a reading. Well, they're called challenges or stumbling block issues. They're like having cinder blocks of energy around your ankles, you know, those shackles that prisoners wear, and you see them just kind of shuffling along. They can't take big steps. They can only take little baby steps with the challenges, with the shackles of energy around their ankles, metaphorically speaking. And so the shackles of the number four to overcome, to work out and be better than, and to work through, one of the shackles is laziness or procrastination or inattention to details of living, not being organized, not being tidy and clean, not expressing yourself. You need to become aware of when, timing, of when to make major changes. Now, the key word here is changes, because I'm telling you folks, the last thing that anyone with the number 4, 13, 4, 22, 4, 31, 4, birthday number temperament wants to do is make changes. Well, we just got the house all fixed up, I hear. Why? We remodeled. Now you want to move? Why? I don't want to move. I don't want to make changes. We have always gone to the same vacation spot. Why should we try the West Coast instead of always going to the East Coast? Why should we make changes? Why? And so the best thing to do is point up benefits, because I am telling you, this personality does not like changes. Even one of my relatives is married to someone who's always moving the furniture around. She loves to decorate. She's moving this. She's doing that. Changing the draperies, the pillows, and the whatever. Makes her husband wackadoo. Why did you move this sofa? The coffee table was great where it was. Where's the remote? Who put it in this basket? They don't like changes. It's just chuckle. So anyone who's married to someone with this temperament, you know, kind of has to know this about them. They ain't going to change, folks. And point out the benefits. And that will calm them down. It rattles their stability and their security. Security is a huge issue for this temperament, for those that are Capricorn, for those that have the sign of Taurus in either their sun sign, their rising sign, or their moon sign. Security. They will become workaholics just to maintain a roof over their head, enough food. They will work themselves to the bone for security reasons for themselves and for their family. It's all about balance. It's all about knowing when to hold them, when to fold them. Our little four temperament has to guard against the stumbling blocks, the shackles that makes them appear stubborn, opinionated, hard-headed to those around them. Developing some sense of routine and order would be good, because it helps them let go of their security worries. Let go of their frustration. And what does this for them is patience. Patience can come, can evolve. I learned it. My blowtorch Aries coming in here had no patience. I want what I want when I want it. And I didn't care how I got it. Until somewhere along the line, in the middle part of my life, my soul grabbed Elizabeth by the scuff of her neck and said, "Settle yourself down, girly girl." And I did, but it wasn't easy. And so I thoroughly understand what it takes to go from a blowtorch Aries into a stable, placid, secure, peaceful Taurus temperament. And I would never own up to stubborn and opinionated. Remember that the number four, the box, loves stability, loves security. Not the most impulsive, impatient sign. It is an energy that goes A to B, B to C, C to D. It is an energy that loves home, family, children, country, rules, regulations. It makes it happy. And speaking of happy, you would make me very happy if you would go to my website, ElizabethSummers.com. Send me an email. Tell me how you enjoy or don't enjoy, folks, the magical world of numbers. Do check out and order, just by using the word subscribe, please, my monthly newsletter. February is hot off the presses here. And by all means, be sure that you listen to my new time on February 19th, Friday night, 6:30 to 7:30 California time, Pacific Coast time, when I will be again talking with you, giving you insight as to the power and the magic behind the numbers that are found in your birth certificate name. So until next time, know that I send you God's white light, His peace and His harmony. Know that I wish you all good things, and thank you for once again visiting with me in the magical world of numbers.